It was just over a week ago in New Zealand that 50 people were murdered in their place of worship. New Zealand, that is one of the most peaceful countries on earth, Christchurch became a war zone. And how appropriate it is, therefore, as we finish off our studies in the book of Daniel, that we come this morning to consider the fact that God's people live amidst a war zone, amidst a spiritual battle, because that's the theme, that's the motif, that's the strapline that ties together these final three chapters in Daniel, and they do all belong together, Daniel chapters 10 to 12. That there's one vision here, and that one vision is all about the fact that we are living in a war zone, but the outcome is assured. Daniel tells us that we're in a battle, but we're sure how the battle will finish up. And we've seen week by week how indeed Daniel and his mates who follow the one true and living God, they're in a fight, they're in a battle, they're in a war zone week by week as they follow the one true and living God. Daniel has ended up in the den of lions. His mates have been in the fiery furnace. Daniel, because he wouldn't pray to the king, and his friends, because they wouldn't bow down to the king's statue. They're in a battle. And friends, I want to say to you today that if you follow Jesus, you're in a battle. The battle's raging all around us. And we can see it in our own nation today, can't we? Because our country is in such chaos. And so what should we do? Well, we've been saying week by week in the book of Daniel, the message is so clear. If our country's in chaos, like Daniel and his friends, we need to look to the king. We need to trust in King Jesus. Living in a war zone, but the outcome is assured. If you turn in your Bibles, please, to page was really 895 onwards, 895 onwards, Daniel chapters 10 to 12. And given all that we've said, here's a really obvious place to start, and that is, firstly, that we're living in a war zone. And we see that so clearly in chapter 10. There's a spiritual battle going on here. Just look with me at chapter 10, verse 1. Page 895, chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. God's people are in a battle. Right at the very beginning of this vision, of this section, Daniel wants us to get this. We're in a battle. And one writer called Ian Digood, who comments on this, puts it like this. Daniel 10 is written to help us understand that life is hard and why life is hard, but also to remind us that we are not alone in our struggles. And that's really important for us to know today. If you're following Jesus today and you find it difficult to be a Christian in your where you study at school or college, or you find it to be difficult to be a Christian where you work or amongst your family or friends, and there's a battle going on there, be encouraged. It's important for us to know that whilst we're in a spiritual battle, we can be prepared for the fight, armed and ready. What's so hard for Daniel as he writes? Well, we've just read in chapter 10, verse 1, that it's the third year of a Persian king called King Cyrus. Now, 2 years before this, 2 years before this is written, Cyrus, whose heart God had moved to allow the people to begin to return from captivity in what was Babylon but is now ruled by Persia, Cyrus has allowed the first wave of God's people to return and leave Babylon as was and go back to their homeland of Judah and its capital city, Jerusalem. You would think that was great. You would think God's people would be rejoicing. But when they get back to Jerusalem, it's a total disaster. It's a war zone. It quite literally looks as if a bomb has hit it. The city walls broken down. The temple's destroyed. And there's massive opposition from the locals living there to stop God's people rebuilding the temple. In fact, it will be 15 years until the work begins again. The prophets Haggai and Zechariah, stirred up by God, encouraged the people to rebuild. But there's a 15-year hiatus where nothing happens. They're back where they want to be. They're back in their capital city, Jerusalem. But everything is falling apart. They are living in a war zone. So what does Daniel do? Daniel knows about this. Daniel knows how his people are being disheartened as they've returned to Jerusalem. So what does Daniel do? He does the very best thing we can ever do. He fasts, mourns, and prays. Chapter 10, verses 2 and 3. He's in prayer. And we saw last time, as we looked at this book of Daniel, that he longs and he prays for God to step in. And so God gives him a vision. And these visions enable Daniel to see that the reason why God's people are struggling is because they're in a spiritual battle. They are in a spiritual war zone. Satan is against them. And so in this vision that Daniel has, he meets God. In fact, he meets one of God's messengers, chapter 10, verse 6. And here's how God's messenger is described. And if he's an overwhelming figure, imagine how amazing God would be. This is just one of God's messengers, chapter 10, verse 6. Notice how he's described. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. It was one messenger talking, but it sounded like a multitude of people. And this awe-inspiring angel's message to Daniel is that Daniel, chapter 10, verse 10, is highly esteemed by God. That's what's happening at the start. Then from chapter 10, verses 12 to 20, there is described by this messenger a great war that God's people are in. And what's really important about this vision that God gives to Daniel here is that it explains what is happening in the spiritual realm. So there's three warlike figures in this vision. There's Michael. We meet him in chapter 10, verses 13 and 21. And Michael's an angel. He's on God's side. But then two other warlike figures are mentioned, and they are clearly against God and against God's people. And so in chapter 10 and verse 13, there's the prince of Persia. And in chapter 10, verse 20, there's the prince of Greece. And they are both against God and against God's people. Now, what on earth is all this about? You're saying, I didn't come to church for this morning. What's happening here? We remember that we've been saying week by week that in apocalyptic literature, like this kind of cartoon-type literature, what's really important is the big message. And the big message here is that we're living in a war zone. We're living in a spiritual battle between God and his forces and Satan and his forces. And God says to Daniel in chapter 10, verse 19, Daniel, don't be afraid, be strong. For I am with you, says God, I am near to you. And Daniel so needs to hear that, because Daniel is variously described in these verses as deathly pale. He's described as having no strength left. We're told that he's trembling, he's speechless, and he's helpless. He's at the end of his tether. And so God's awe-inspiring message, an awe-inspiring angel messenger, tells Daniel not to be afraid, but to be strong, Daniel, because God is with you. Have you ever felt like Daniel felt like here? Have you ever felt like you're at the end of your tether? I'm sure every one of us in Second Dromara have felt like that at times. Has something ever happened to you and you have felt, I can't take any more of this? I'm at the end of my tether. I'm just stressed out. I'm done out. I'm fed up. I've had enough of this. That's just how Daniel feels, at the end of his tether. But maybe as you felt like you're at the end of your tether, you've got a good friend. And your friend says, do you know what? I'm with you. I'm just at the end of the phone. Call me anytime. Text me anytime. Call around anytime. I'd love to help you. I'm there for you. Well, God says to Daniel, Daniel, I'm your friend. I'm there to help you. So don't be afraid, but be strong, says God, because I am your friend and I will be with you. And God says to his followers through Daniel 10, you're in a spiritual battle. Satan's against you. Life's going to be tough, but I, God, am with you to give you strength. That's chapter 10. That's really what's happening in chapter 10. Now for chapter 11. And once again, God's people are in a war zone. There's kind of four phases to the history of chapter 11. You'll get phase 1 in chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. If you notice, it says there in chapter 11, verses 3 and 4, there's a mighty king. Who's the mighty king? You'll all have heard of him. The mighty king is Alexander the Great, who had great power from around 3500 BC or thereabouts, 356. Alexander the Great was born. His empire stretched across, in those ancient days, it stretched across, amazingly, three separate continents. That's Alexander the Great. That's phase one. Then phase two that Daniel covers here in chapter 11 is verses 5 to 20. And after Alexander's death, two of his most powerful generals were engaged in a power struggle. One in the north and one in the south. And they are fighting over what we would call today Israel, or Palestine, as it was known back then. And then comes phase three of the battle. Again, that's chapter 11, this time verses 21 to 35. And again, the fact that we're living in a spiritual war zone comes to the fore. And the kind of person it focuses on here, we mentioned him back in chapters 8 and 9, a guy called Antiochus Epiphanes. An epiphany is like a revelation of God. So Antiochus Epiphanes reckoned he was like a revelation of God. He acted as if he were God. And from 175 to 164 BC, Antiochus Epiphanes ruled in a brutal way. He persecuted God's people. It was against the law in his kingdom to have a Bible. All Bibles that were found were burned. And if you were found in possession of a Bible, you were executed. To make matters even worse, Antiochus Epiphanes went into the temple where God was supposed to be worshipped, and he brought in a sow, a pig. Now, you will all know that for Jews, pigs are unclean animals. Antiochus Epiphanes sacrificed this unclean pig on the altar of God in God's temple. He was a really evil man. And so with Antiochus Epiphanes' brutal rule and with his persistent persecution of God's people, we're reminded that God's people live in a war zone. We're in a spiritual battle against Satan and his forces of evil. And we get a further flavour of this hatred of God's people in chapter 11, verse 31, where it says, his armed forces will rise up to desecrate the temple fortress and abolish the daily sacrifice. So Antiochus Epiphanes stopped people making sacrifices to God. They will set up the abomination that causes desolation, and that we think is the offering of that pig on God's altar in God's temple, that unclean pig. That's phase three, pretty brutal. Phase four is actually the worst of all. Again, chapter 11, verses 36 to 45. Antiochus Epiphanes was bad, but this next and final ruler actually looks like Satan himself. We get a snapshot of him in chapter 11 and verse 36. The king will do as he pleases. He'll exalt and magnify himself above every god and will say unheard of things against the God of gods, that's against God himself. Again, we're reminded we're in a spiritual battle against Satan and his forces of evil. So what's the main point of these four phases? Well, let's remember that it's the big message that's important here. So what's important for us about this vision that God gives Daniel is that it explains what's going on in the spiritual realm behind all these wars and political maneuverings. And the big message here, which we mustn't miss, is this. God's people are living in a spiritual war zone, a spiritual battle between God and his forces and Satan and his forces. We are in a battle. And I've got to say, genuinely, I think if you're a believer this morning, if you follow Jesus as your Saviour, I'm speaking for myself here as well, we often forget this. We often forget that we're in a spiritual battle. We often don't realise that things go badly for us because Satan is against us. And what is prefigured here and looked forward to here, Jesus explains to his followers more fully, that as we follow him, life's going to be tough because God's people are in a spiritual battle. And that's why right at the very top of the service, we read these verses from Ephesians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul explains more fully what it's like to follow Jesus and be in a battle against Satan and his evil forces. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 12. Finally, says Paul, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, now notice what it says, our struggle day by day is not against flesh and blood. In other words, our struggle is ultimately not against other people, but what's it against? Against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Paul says we're in a battle, we're in a spiritual war zone, and Satan is our big enemy in that war zone. Here are two children, and I take the elderly man who is with them to be their grandfather. And they are living in Aleppo, in Syria. And notice what's happening in that picture. So there are two little boys here. They don't have very much. They've got a few books scattered around them. Behind them, there are wrecked buildings. There are buildings that have been pummeled into rubble. They don't have very much. They are living in Aleppo in a war zone. And I was reading just a few days ago, listen to this. If you are a child, imagine this now. If you're a child living in Aleppo, you are taught. So this is what they have to teach children in Aleppo. What do they teach them? If you're a child in Aleppo, you are taught how to spot bombs and booby traps. Wouldn't that be a nice thing to have to teach your child going out to play in the morning? Watch out for the bombs. Beware of the booby traps. Wouldn't that be a nice lesson as a parent or grandparent, an aunt or an uncle, to have to teach your children? Wouldn't that just be lovely? Living in a war zone. Friends, if we're following Jesus, like those children in Aleppo, we too need to be alert against Satan and his vicious attacks. Christians must never forget that we too are living in a war zone and that Satan is our cunning and spiteful enemy. Do you ever wonder as a Christian why things don't go right for you? Do you ever wonder why school isn't a breeze? Do you ever wonder why work is tetchy and difficult and people rub you up the wrong way at times? Do you ever wonder why, as a Christian, when you try to be nice to everybody, your family and friends don't think you're that nice sometimes? Why is that? Why is that? It's because we live in a war zone. So let's please heed God's kindly meant warning for us today. Life can be hard. Why? Because Satan is in a battle against God's people. That's why life's hard if you're a Christian. Be aware of it. But like he does with Daniel, God has brought us help. God was with Daniel, we said that earlier, as his friend. And for us today, God is with us. And God's help to us comes in the person of his son, the Lord Jesus. What did Jesus say? Jesus said to his followers, surely I am with you always. Jesus says, I'm with you all the time to help you as you live for me, and life's difficult and life's a drag. It's also worth asking, just before we leave this point, it's also worth asking the question, have you come on to Jesus' side in this spiritual battle? We sang earlier on, didn't we? Stand up for Jesus. Is that you? Have you taken a stand for Jesus? Are you standing up for Jesus? Is Jesus your King and your Saviour in this spiritual battle? Is that where you stand today? Can you put your hand on your heart just now, right now, and say, I'm standing up for Jesus? He's my King. He's my Saviour. Is that where you stand? We may have sung it together earlier on, but is that honestly you? Really, truthfully, honestly, genuinely, is that you? If it's not, will you humbly today and bravely today, because you've got to be brave to do this, Will you say, Jesus, I've been on the wrong side? And I admit that today. I hold my hands up, Jesus, I've got it wrong. And today, by your grace that I don't deserve, I want to come on to your side. And I want you through your death to put things right. Whose side are you on today in this spiritual battle? Well, Daniel saves the best to last. And this one fact changes everything, in fact. For not only is God with us, but God has won the victory. Yes, we're living in a war zone for sure, but secondly and finally, the outcome's assured. The outcome is assured. God will win the day. And at the end, God's people will be shown to be on the right side, delivered by God and kept safe with him forever. Look at chapter 12 with me, verses 1 and 2. So here comes Michael, this angel. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Verse 2, multitudes who sleep in the dust of death will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Daniel was writing about more than he really fully understood. Daniel there is writing about what we call the general resurrection. And what that means is that one day Jesus is coming back, and everybody from every grave will arise and be joined together with our soul on that general resurrection. And on that day, on that last day, as the Bible describes it, we will all have to stand before Judge Jesus. And so at the end of the world, Jesus will return as the victorious king. Everybody will rise from the grave, and all will then have to answer to Judge Jesus. You say, Kenny, Hannah, how do you know that's going to happen? How do you know there's going to be a general resurrection? How do you know there's going to be an account giving? How do you know there's going to be a day of judgment? How do you know that? Well, here's how I know. The outcome is assured, and we know that. We can be sure of that because Jesus himself has risen from the grave to be God's king and judge. And folks, that's the clincher. That's the guarantee that all this will happen. And so, for example, in Acts chapter 10, Peter explains that God has raised Jesus from the dead and appointed him as king and judge of all. Here's what we read. Acts chapter 10, Peter says, God raised him, that's Jesus, from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. God commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he, that's Jesus, is the one whom God has appointed as judge of the living and the dead. The outcome is assured, and we know that, says Peter, because Jesus has risen again from the dead as God's king and judge of all. That's how we know. That's how the outcome is assured. Whatever age you are this morning, whatever age you are, I suspect you haven't lived through too many more uncertain times in the UK than you live through now. Everything is up in the air. Everything is so uncertain. MPs defecting from Labour and from the Conservatives to be their own group of independents. We're not sure when we leave the EU, if we leave the EU. We don't know how long Theresa May will continue as Prime Minister. Nobody really knows anything. No one has a clue. The whole thing is in uproar. It is a country in chaos. We can't take anything for granted. But when we're trusting in Jesus, we can be sure what the future holds. For Jesus' resurrection conclusively shows his authority over life and death. Now, this means very different things for us today. And with this I close. This means very different things for us today, depending on where we stand with Jesus. So, if you're trusting in Jesus, then Jesus' resurrection brings you great hope. For example, famous verses spoken by the Lord Jesus in John chapter 11, where Jesus assures his followers. John 11, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Jesus says when we trust in him, when we give our lives to him, we will never die. We will live forever. We have everlasting life. The best life there is, life with him that doesn't end. And knowing that's so reassuring, isn't it? Knowing that you already have God's eternal life helps you get on with living for God right now, knowing that God will sort out everything in the end. So that the very last verse in Daniel 12 and verse 13, says that we can get on with living for God now, knowing that Jesus has got it all sorted. As for you, go your way till the end. Keep on living for God until the end, it means. You will rest, and then at the end of days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Really fantastic verse, that. When you're trusting in God, when you're trusting in Jesus, get on with living for him now, because the outcome is assured. Jesus has sorted it all out. How is Daniel to live for God now? What is he to focus on? Well, chapter 12, verse 3, he is to focus on pointing people to God. He is to point people to God's wisdom, and the Bible makes it clear that's ultimately Jesus. He's to shine brightly for God, and we know that Jesus is the light of the world. And he's to point other people to God's right way, to his righteousness, and once again, we know that's Jesus. Chapter 12, verse 3, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So living for God day by day is really ultimately all about pointing people to God's wisdom, God's light, and God's righteousness. In short, living for God each day is all about pointing people to Jesus. That's what life's all about, pointing people to Jesus. And can I say to you today, if you're following Jesus, whatever you achieve, whatever I achieve, at work or with our family or in this community or whatever, the Bible makes it clear, and this is important, the Bible makes it clear that true success in life is measured by how our lives and how our lips point others to Jesus. So my life, Sunday to Saturday, what I do and what you do at work, at school, with your family, ultimately what it's all about is pointing other people to Jesus, that they'll come to know him. That's all great if you're following Jesus. What if you're not? Well, if you're not trusting in Jesus, then Jesus' resurrection brings not great hope, but great hopelessness. Because you see, the God of the book of Daniel will overthrow us forever. He won't allow us to keep rebelling against his kingly authority. And in Matthew 25, Jesus speaks about two ultimate destinations. There's eternal life, yes, but there's also eternal punishment. And I've often said to you from this pulpit in 2nd Jemara, I don't want anybody, and I mean anybody at all, who is connected with us in 2nd Jemara to end up in the place of eternal punishment. I so don't want you to go there. I so don't want that to be your eternal home. I so don't want that for you. I really don't. With all of my heart, I don't want that for you. But please see today, and this is so important, that it's only Jesus who can spare us from eternal punishment and bring us into eternal life. Nobody else can do that for you, folks. I can't do it for you. Your family or friends can't do it for you. Only Jesus can do it for you through his dying on the cross to forgive our sins and rising again to beat death for us. So can I humbly encourage you today to please sort things out with Judge Jesus, who died to be your Savior, Jesus, before it's too late. Please do that, will you? Speak to me anytime. I'd love to help you with this. So important, the most important thing of all in life. So what a great place to sum up this whole book of Daniel. What a great place to finish. It's God's message for Daniel and his friends in 700 BC. It's God's message for us today in 2019 AD. That when everything seems to be going against God's people, when the country seems to be in chaos, we are to look to the King. We are to look to King Jesus, who brings us an outcome that is assured forever. For when Jesus is our King and our Saviour, we have strength now, fueled by sure and certain hope for the future. What's your hope for the future? Is it sure and certain? Trust in Jesus. He sorts out the future. And sorting that out is the fuel for you to live for him and have hope for him day by day. Let's pray for a second. Father, today we've looked at eternity. You've given us a glimpse into eternity in Daniel chapters 10 to 12. We admit, Lord, there's a whole stack of things in Daniel 10 to 12 we don't understand. But we can understand the big message. And we thank you for how your son Jesus has come to make that big message even more clear to us. So help us today, Lord. Help us today as we live in a war zone where Satan is against you and your people. Help us to clearly come onto Jesus' side, to stand up for Jesus, to take our stand behind him as our King and Saviour. Help us to take that stand today, Lord, by your grace. And as we take that stand, encourage us. And encourage us that because Jesus has got our eternal future sorted out, that we can live for him today with great confidence. May that be the fuel that fires us, that inspires us, that excites us, that empowers us to live for Jesus each day and to tell others about our wonderful Saviour. And this we pray together in Jesus' great name.